Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. For those of us who are at home online and those of us who are here in the worship center sticking around here, I'm going to invite you to find your Bibles with me this morning. Whether you have the book of the Bible, which we encourage you to bring. If you don't have one, let me know. We'll get you one. But another option would be if you have your phone, you have the app on your phone, you can pull that out as well. Here at Westview, we want to encourage everyone to be in the Word of God. And so whether it's the book of the Bible or the app, turn with me to our scripture passage, which as you see on the screen this morning is going to be from the book of Psalms again today. So if you're in the book of the Bible, you kind of have to turn right in the smack dab middle. You'll find this big book of Psalms, and we will be in Psalm 23 again, today looking at verse 2, and just a little bit in verse 3. All right, so Psalm 23, verse 2, and then hopping into verse 3 just a little bit. Last week we started a sermon series looking at this passage, which might be one of the most well-known and beloved passages in all of Scripture. And I'm going to give just a little bit of a review here. And I don't normally say this, but I would encourage you that if you're new with us today or if you missed last week, I would encourage you to go back sometime today, go on our website or go to our Facebook page and maybe just check out last week's messages. Kind of sets the table for everything we're talking about during this series. And so I think it was only like 22 minutes, so a little shorter that last week. So it won't take you too long this afternoon to do that. But I would encourage you to do that because we focused on that very first phrase of Psalm 23. Spent a ton of time there where David writes, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And David establishes right away who God is and who he is in relationship to God. He said that God is this shepherd, a knowledgeable, skillful shepherd who is able to care and able to watch over and to provide and protect his flock. And David said the Lord is not just a shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. Right? The Lord is a shepherd, and so David's saying, "I'm a sheep." And we said, "We are sheep. We are sheep of this shepherd." And David says, even though we are one sheep in this entire flock, David knows that the Lord cares for him as a shepherd in such a way that he has this deep personal connection. He says, "That is my shepherd." And we can name that as well. And we said that that first phrase of Psalm 23 lays out who God is and who we are in relationship with God. And then the rest of Psalm 23 really testifies to the greatness of our shepherd. And it began already last week in the second part of verse 1 where David says, because the Lord is this knowledgeable and skillful shepherd, because the Lord is this my shepherd, I'm satisfied. I've got everything I want. I've got everything I need. I shall not be in want. Now this week we're going to look at verse 2, and it continues to testify to the way that our God is a good shepherd. And what we're going to see in verse 2 are some real practical pieces of life. Things like a pasture and water. And though they are so tangible and almost so, you know, really, really earthy, I think there are some incredible faith lessons that God is going to share with us from these practical, tangible pieces of that which David writes about. And all of it will lead to perhaps what will be the most important thing we'll say all morning long. And that's why we'll dive into verse 3 as well. And so I'm excited for this morning. I will say from the beginning, and I don't normally say this as well, but for whatever reason, sometimes you have this. When I write sermons, sometimes they flow and I can't type fast enough on my manuscript and type it out. And then some of them are like, oh my goodness, I cannot figure out what, you know, it's not coming. This was a hard one to write. I'm going to stand up here and say this morning before I begin, this might not be the best sermon I've ever written, but it has been a sermon that I have had to wrestle with myself all week long. Before I can preach a sermon to you, I have to preach the sermon to myself. And this has been a hard week for me to wrestle with this sermon because I've had to preach this message to myself every single day, and I'm still wrestling with it now. And so I am thrilled to be able to share this message with you in Psalm 23, verse 2 with you, but I have to just name from the very beginning that this could be a very challenging message for me and for all of us today. But I trust this God's Spirit's going to be with us, going to lead us, going to guide us, going to encourage us, and challenge and convict us when necessary. And so let's pray for the Spirit to lead us during this time as we read and study Psalm 23. Would you please pray with me? Lord, all we want this morning as we study your word is to hear from you. To hear from you exactly what you have for us today. It doesn't matter who we are this morning. It doesn't matter where we're at this morning, whether we're at home or here in the worship center. It doesn't matter what our week has been like or what we've got coming up in the week ahead. God, we would pray this morning that you would meet us where we're at and share with us the words that we need to hear. So we pray that you would again would guide all that is said, that you would guide all that is heard, and that Psalm 23 would again be your words to us, your people, your sheep, under your care. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So just like we did last week, what I want to encourage us to do this morning is that we're gonna read this entire psalm. But I want you here in the worship center and you at home as well, I want you to say and read the very first phrase along with me. So just the words, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? And the reason for that is I want us week after week after week to hear our own voice say those words. David wrote these words, he wrote them with conviction. He claimed these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I want each and every one of us this morning to be able to name and claim these words as well. "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to hear your own voice say that. And so I'll guide us for that first phrase, and then I'll read the rest of the psalm. Good to go? All right, ready? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. So one of the things we hear very practically, tangibly, very earthly in this verse is green pastures. And so what do green pastures look like to you? So you think about green pastures. Maybe they look like something like this. We're going to have a couple of pictures here this morning. Maybe they look something like this. This is a picture of Tel Arad. It is a location in Israel-Palestine, in the southern area of Israel-Palestine, but on the northern edge of it is called the Negev. And Tel Arad is on the northern edge of the Negev. And the Negev is a desert area. Doesn't really look like a desert, does it? It looks really nice, doesn't it? And we'll say more why it looks like this in just a moment. But maybe this is our image of green pastures, Tel Arad, here in that picture. Now, I have had the privilege, the blessing in my life to travel to Israel-Palestine 2 times. And I would encourage you, if you ever have the opportunity, go. You'll see the scriptures. You'll see it all in a new way. It's such a beautiful place. But the only bummer part about me going twice is that when I've gone, I've always gone at the same time. I've gone in late March. And I say bummer part because I've only seen Israel-Palestine in the same season. Late March is right after the rainy season, which is December through February. And so I'm coming out of the rainy season. And so I have not seen Israel-Palestine, what it looks like, really eight, nine months out of the year. Because we just saw a moment ago the picture of Tel Arad and what it looks like at the end of March, right, after the rainy season. But most of the year it looks like this. A little different, right? Very dry. Here's another example. Gamla, here's another picture. Gamla is a mountain up in northeast Galilee. And this is a picture I took a couple of years ago. And the reason we go to Gamla, if you look kind of in the bottom left-hand corner, you see a structure there. There's a synagogue there. It's a fantastic synagogue to kind of learn about the practices of the Jewish people there in the synagogue. And you go to Gamla, and this is how I've seen Gamla. Right, both times I've gone, I've seen Gamla this way. I've got a picture like this. I got a picture of my office of Gamla. And I've seen it like this. It's green. And there's lots of grass. And so if you say the name Gamla of a mountain, I'm going to instantly picture this in my mind. But most people would recognize Gamla as this. In fact, when I first saw this picture, I had to take a few minutes. What am I looking at here? Because I've been all over that mountain. I've gone all the way up to the point, to the very point. But I had to look at that and say, well, wait. It took me just a minute to kind of get my mind around that. Both pictures are Gamla. Both places are Gamla. But in very different seasons. And so we go back to that question. What do we think of when we think of green pastures? My mind, when I think of green pastures, is that soft, lush, green grass that sweeps over the hillside or the golf course, Des Moines Country Club in the summertime, where the irrigation and there's just the water, you know, people that pump the water into their lawns. It's just soft. You can walk on it with your bare feet. I think of green and grass like that or green pastures like that. But when we think about Psalm 23, we've got to remember our context, the literal geographical context. We said last week that shepherding takes place in the Judean wilderness. It takes place in a desert area. And so for a season, green pastures can look like this. Shepherding looks like this. You can kind of see, especially in the top of the picture there, you can see green pastures, maybe what we would think of. You see the sheep and the shepherds leading them to green pastures right there. And it maybe looks like this. But for most of the year, shepherding looks more like this. And even more so like this. I want you to pay attention. Can you see the little grass, little shrubs kind of peeking out of the rocky soil there? Most of the year in Israel, what you're looking at right there, that little grass shrub thing coming out, that is known as green pastures. Just depends on what season you're in. Both pictures, what we looked at a moment ago, of Telluride here. If we have Telluride on one side, right after the rainy season, and you have the green grass coming out of the rocky soil, both of them are described and known as green pastures. Depends on what season you're in. Now, what I'd love to do is be able to keep this picture up here on the screen for a long time, so I'm going to refer back and forth to each one. But here's the thing. For when we have a picture up on the screen, our online friends, that's all they see. So they don't see me moving around, walking around. And so what I did this morning, real high tech here this morning, I have a green piece of construction paper over here, and I have some tan paper over here, and I bet you can figure out which is going to represent which, yes? You got it, right? One's going to represent one season, one's going to represent another season. Good to go? Got them straight? Okay. Last week, I told you a couple things about sheep that I've experienced about sheep from the county fair. Remember what they were? They're noisy and they're stupid. Yeah. I'm not going to retract that by any means because I still think that about sheep. But I want to tell you something else about sheep this morning. Kenneth Bailey writes this in his commentary on the 23rd Psalm. He says this about sheep. You can't make sheep lie down. It's true. You can't make sheep lie down. It's kind of like a horse, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Same thing. Same with sheep. You cannot make sheep lie down. But then we say, oh, hold up here. Because Psalm 23, David writes here that the Lord as a shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures, right? Because it certainly sounds, when we read that verse there, it sounds like God is able to force us and cause us to stop and rest in green pastures. And we read that, and so some of us, we live life that way, right? We go and we rush off here and rush off there, and we're like, well, God will slow me down when it's time for me to slow down. God will force me to stop when it's time to stop. It's a very dangerous way to live. It's not the way of Psalm 23. So what is David saying here then? He's not saying that the Lord is forcing us to stop moving. He's not forcing us to even lie down. But another way to understand this phrase is this, that he settles me down in green pastures. In the sense that the Lord provides. In whatever moment we're in whatever season we're in, the Lord provides what we need. And as the Lord provides, we then can choose to settle down in the provision that the Lord has given. Maybe even lie down. Maybe even rest. And so our knowledgeable and skillful shepherd, this Lord guides his sheep in this season into those green pastures we talked about here. And in this season, the Lord provides green pastures in this season as well. And it just depends on what season we're in. Because both seasons are a part of life, are they not? We've experienced both, have we not? I mean, we've had moments where life is good, life is amazing, life is abundant, life is overflowing, and it's like that lush green grass of an irrigated lawn, and things cannot get better. We've been in that season, have we not? And then we've also been in a season where it's like, man, we just hitched a ride on the struggle bus. And everything is hard, and everything is difficult, and everything is scarce, and everything is just a struggle. Here's the thing, in both seasons, there's green pastures. In both seasons, there's green pastures, and a shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures regardless of the season. And in doing so, the shepherd is providing for the sheep an opportunity to settle down, to take in, to receive what's needed. Now here's the hard part. The hard part is that so often we want to view life in the way that I picture Israel-Palestine. Because when I think of Israel-Palestine, when I read my Bible and I see the different places and the locations we've been to, I picture it in that end of March, right after the rainy season. And it's green, and it's lush, and it's wonderful. And so often we want life to be the same, don't we? So often we just want to see the green, lush pastures of this season. And in this season, there's also green pastures. And in this season is a very much part of life as well. In each season, there are green pastures. And you know what? We go through each season, sometimes back and forth. Both seasons for us have green pastures, and in both, the Lord is providing them for us. So then here comes the faith lesson. Is that when we're in these different seasons, one season or another, and we go back and forth, the Lord gives us an opportunity to settle down in a green pasture. They look very different. And the question is, in that season, where then do we find that security? Because if we're in this season here, and we're in the green, and it's lush, and it's good, and things are overflowing, the danger is this, is that we stop finding security in God, and we start finding security in the circumstances, in the flow of cash or the job promotions or the honor or the recognition or whatever it is that is in abundance. And pretty soon we start to find security in the provision and not in the provider. And the danger over here is when we're in this season and we have the green pastures that the Lord is providing. And yet the danger is that in this season, we no longer put our security in God, because we feel like in this season, God is failing us because God's not providing what's over here in this season. And so we know we are provided for, we receive what we need, but it's not overflowing. And so we start to get a little frustrated and we start to covet that, well, we wish it was over here, and we're no longer thankful and grateful. There's a danger in both seasons of where we put our security. There's a danger in both seasons of not putting security in God who provides and leads us to green pastures. In both seasons, there's provision. They look very different because the seasons are different. But in both seasons, there's an opportunity to settle down and to put our security in the one who provides for us in and out of every season. So that's faith lesson number one with green pastures. Here's the second faith lesson for us. It's about water. Specifically, quiet waters. Shepherds, they know the needs of their sheep. And in the desert, there's no higher need than water. And so a shepherd, listen very closely to this. A shepherd will construct their entire day around finding water for their sheep. Now, it's typical, especially in the dry season, it's typical for a flock of sheep to roam about 5 square miles a day. That's a pretty good sizable place. And part of that is you saw a few minutes ago what the grass looks like there, right? There's not a lot. So instead of overwhelming one spot, they take a little bit and move on, take a little bit, move on, take a little bit, move on, take a little bit, move on. And by midday, it is time for those sheep to get a drink. They maybe got a little drink at the beginning of the day, the dew off the grass, but by midday, they're ready for a sizable water source. And the shepherd knows they need this. And a shepherd knows where to find water. And so the shepherd guides sheep there by midday. But here's the other thing about sheep. Okay, I told you what? They're noisy. I think they're stupid. We told you that they can't make them lie down. Here's the other thing about sheep that you need to know. Sheep are very skittish animals. They're very anxious. In fact, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but back when I was in school at the fair, we'd be walking down the aisles of the sheep barn. We're walking down the aisles and the pens are there and bah, bah, bah. They're so noisy. And so what we would do sometimes is we'd get down like this and the sheep would come up close and we'd go, down, set, hook, and we'd rush them. And they'd, they'd have a little sheep heart attack, right? Because they were so skittish. And they would all fall back to the back of the pens, right? Don't tell anybody I said I did that, okay? Somebody probably came to their sheep and their sheep's going crazy, yeah. But sheep are so skittish. They are such anxious animals. And because of that, they will not drink from moving water. They will not drink from a river. They will not drink from a little stream. They will not drink from a babbling brook. Even over here in Clive, there's kind of this way in Clive here, there's a pond, and it has a one of those man-made fountains that goes up, and I think one by Holmes Murphy, too, on Grand Prairie Parkway, and even just south of the fire station here, there's a small little pond with the man-made fountains. You know what I'm talking about? Even that kind of water, as it flows up in the middle and it ripples to the end, that's too much for sheep. Sheep need still water. Sheep need quiet water. We'll take a picture of a look at quiet water. Look how peaceful that is, yes? Or something like this. Another picture of just still water. That's the kind of water that a sheep needs. And for some reason, if a shepherd cannot find the water that they think should be there, and there is a river flowing and a stream flowing, the sheep will not drink there. The shepherd will take their tools, and they will actually carve out a channel for water to come out and to pool somewhere else, kind of like we did as kids on the farm after a thunderstorm, and it's muddy, and the water's flowing. We make all these little dams and tributaries in the mud there, play in the mud. And so the shepherd does the same thing, carves out a place for the water to flow and to stop and to pool up for the sheep, than to take a drink from still water. Here's a fascinating thing about verse 2 in this phrase. The literal reading of the Hebrew, where it says, he leads me beside quiet waters, says this. If you read it literally, it says, he leads me beside waters of rest. Now, I want us to remember what we said just a moment ago. A shepherd constructs their whole day around finding this water, around finding waters of rest. And man, I think that begs us a question, does it not? Where are the pockets of still water, of quiet water, of waters of rest that are in our day? And I have to tell you, I'm not a great example of this. Right? The next little part here is going to kick my tail. It might kick yours as well. You know, if your day is anything like mine, it's something like this. Alarm goes off at 5. You exercise. You quick eat while trying to rush 1, 2, 3 kids out the door for school. You rush off to work. You have a crazy day engaged in saving the world. And then maybe a meal around the table after work, but really probably a fraction of the family because they're off at this place and they're off at this place. You got to go pick them up so that you can rush off to the lesson, to the game, to the concert, to the practice, or to something else, only to get home, rush through bedtime so that you can hopefully salvage a few moments collapsing on the couch in order to binge watch a few TV shows, to have a brain break before going to bed, maybe by 11, just so you can get up and do it all again tomorrow. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anybody? Let me reiterate something we said a minute ago, because I don't want us to miss this. A shepherd constructs their day around finding water of rest. And so the question we're asking ourselves then is, where are the pockets of quiet water in our day? Where are the moments where we are drinking deep from the waters of rest? Because like sheep, and we said this last week, we are sheep. So like sheep, in the care of our shepherd, we need these moments of rest as well. We need those anchoring points in our day. It does not matter if they're morning or noon or night, but we are not created to only always go. Sheep roam a lot in a day, but they too stop and drink and rest. And let me just say it again. Their day is built around that moment of drinking from quiet waters. Let me say it a little differently because I want to make sure we get this. I'm guilty of this. Maybe you're guilty of this as well. But so often I fill out my schedule for the day and then I attempt to squeeze in some quiet waters. And you know what often happens? It squeezes right back out. Anybody relate to that? And so what if we took a different approach? What if we took the approach of the shepherd? What if instead of constructing our schedule and filling in all the blanks and then trying to squeeze in some waters of rest, what if the first thing we put down on our Google Calendar for the day was that moment of quiet waters? And what if we built the rest of our day around that and thus build the rest of our life around these waters of rest? It might mean some adjustments. It might mean we have to get up a little earlier. It might mean a few less moments in workout. It might mean that instead of eating lunch at the computer and still working, we eat and do something else. It might mean that we don't let Netflix click another show for us. But what if we allow our shepherd to construct our day? To let him say the first agenda item about which we are going to construct our whole day will be waters of rest, so that we can drink deep from this quiet, still water. I think that's faith lesson number two for us from Psalm 23, verse 2. And so we talk about green pastures. We talk about quiet waters. And I think their context, just the context itself, right? Seasons and stillness of waters, that speaks to us. And I think it shares important faith lessons with us. But friends, we're not done yet. And the reason we're not done yet is because the sentence isn't even done yet. It spills over into verse 3 with four oh-so-important words. He restores my soul. The Lord is our shepherd, leads us to be settled down in green pastures. No matter what season we're in, he provides green pastures for us. We find security in our shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd, constructs our day around drinking deep from quiet water so that we can find waters of rest from our shepherd. And so the security that we gain, that we can put in our shepherd in any season, and the rest that we receive as we drink from quiet waters, it says that it restores our soul. It restores us. The word there means to return. It means to bring back. It means to be refreshed. It means that our soul is reconditioned to wholeness. Now, if I were to ask you, if you'd like to join me in forming a line, I'll be first in line, and I'm going to guess the line would kind of come quite a long ways behind me here on stage, but I'll be the first in line to say that I need some soul restoration. You too? Not because we're bad people, not because we've done something wrong, not because, I'm not even talking salvation. I'm saying my soul feels depleted right now. Feels weary and burdened. Anyone else feel the same way? It feels like there's been, for me at least, it feels like there's been a lot of this season right here. And the Lord has provided. Right? Those bits of grass, right? Just a little bit to nibble on to get through. The Lord has literally provided daily bread. And yet I have longed for and have coveted and yearned for what's over there, for maybe what once was or what I want it to be. And so I have been complaining, or I've been weary, and I've been frustrated. And I tell you what, I have to take my own advice. I have to take my own challenge that I gave us a moment ago. Because I need to orient my day around quiet waters rather than trying to squeeze it into an already full schedule. I think because of those things, my soul is weary. and it needs to be restored. And maybe some of you are right there with me. And if you are, it's okay. If you are, that's fine. It's okay to name it. And if you're there with me, Psalm 23, verse 2 is a powerful word for us, a powerful gift to us. Now, if you're not there, Psalm 23 is still a powerful word for us. Because Psalm 23, verse 2 talks about a shepherd who knows us, a shepherd who loves us, a shepherd who cares for us and who cares not just about the home that we live in or the job that we have or the grades that we're getting or our success on the court. We have a shepherd who cares about our soul. His purpose is for our soul to be restored. And he is the one, David says, he restores our soul. God does the restoring. He is the one who will settle us down in green pastures, whatever season we are in. He is the one who wants to orient our day around quiet water so that we can drink deep from the waters of rest. This is what our shepherd does for us, so that our soul may be restored, so that we can be brought back to him, so that we can be refreshed by his love and his grace, so that we can be made whole yet again. This is the work of our shepherd for us, restoring our soul. May it be for each and every one of us today and always. Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are our shepherd. And we can claim that this morning, that you are our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23 says. And each and every one of us can claim that as for ourselves. And that you know us and you love us. You watch over us. And God, as we heard today, you provide for us. No matter what season we are in, you provide those green pastures, sustenance to keep going. Lord, we are thankful that you provide, and we pray that in no matter what season we are in, we can find security in you, the provider. And God, we thank you that no matter what season we're in, that you promise to always be with us, to walk with us, to journey with us, to watch over us and to care for us. God, we thank you too that as a good shepherd, that you sure are concerned about the things that we are concerned about. You're concerned about things like jobs and home and grades and all those important things, of course. But God, that you care deeply for our soul. And so much so that you would invite us to orient our days around finding rest in you. You would help us to and desire us to orient our days around drinking deeply from your word and from prayer and in time with you. God, we pray this morning that for each of us, however we need to hear these words of Psalm 23, they're such beautiful, powerful, comforting, and challenging words. Lord, we pray that each one of us would be met right where we're at, that if we need to, in a sense, find the right word to be satisfaction or settledness or contentedness in whatever season we're in. If we are running dry and we need to drink deep from waters of rest, Lord, I pray that you would lay upon us by your Spirit's power whatever it is that you would have us to take from this word today. Also that our souls can be refreshed and restored. Lord, I think your desire for us is to be people who are living life, and not just life, but a life abundant, life in the promise of life eternal. And when we're dry, when we're weary, when we're burdened, you invite us to come to you and find that rest. Thank you that you're a God of restoration. You're a God of turning back. You're a God of wholeness and completeness. And whoever we are this morning, wherever we're at this morning, may we hear those words. And may our soul be restored in you. Lord, we pray for us as a church family, as a community. Lord, I just think of the prayer that was spoken earlier this morning too, and just, man, there's a lot of things that are just weighing at us and pulling at us as a church community, but as a community at large, as a nation, as a world. And Lord, we pray that you would bring unity and wholeness. You would bring extra measures of grace and patience. God, that you would help us, as we talked about this fall, just to simply respect one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, even in the midst of really hard times and hard decisions and hard things that are going on. So let us lead the way in that, God, as people who are sheep under your care, as your redeemed, as the people of Christ who know Jesus and who seek to live out Jesus, may we lead that. Lead the way of love and grace, mercy, care, understanding, patience, to bear the fruit of the Spirit in fullness. Lord, we also pray this morning that for just our church community, for those who are either struggling with illness or sickness, whether that's physical or maybe it's mental illness, struggling with just the strains of life, struggling with different things. We pray for healing and wholeness. We pray for comfort for those who grieve. We think of Mike and Rita especially, and the loss of Mike's mother. Thank you for 93 years, and really a celebration of homegoing. But comfort those who mourn. Lord, for others in our midst, whether it's relationships, whether it's friendships, whatever is maybe strained right now, classmates, friends at school, teammates, whatever it is, we pray for wholeness and healing, reconciliation to come about. Lord, we pray for your church, not just Westview, but for your church around the world, and especially as we have in our program again today, the Nobles and their work. For others who serve you, we pray that you would allow the message and the good news of Jesus Christ to shine forth, maybe starting right here on this corner, but that it would shine forth to the corners of the earth, that your Spirit would champion the name of Jesus, that all would have the chance to know the good news of hope, of life, of peace, of rest. God, we thank you that as our shepherd, you invite us to come to you, and that you provide us the gift of rest. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.